Welcome to the Mumbrella Podcast, coming to you weekly from the studios of those nice people at CBS Interactive. I'm Tim Burrows. This week, the print versus online debate. We chat about Australia's most creative digital agency. Can Aussies be persuaded not to drink beer? Google's Yellow Man goes in for the kill. Australia's free-to-air TV networks. Dodgy dealing. Plus, the TV rating season finally gets properly underway. Joining me as usual, Mumbrella Deputy Editor Camille Alacon.
Hello.
Scott Rohde of PR Agency House Party.
Hey,
welcome along. First, now, there's always an online versus print debate bouncing around somewhere. And this week, Newspaper Works, the marketing arm of the newspaper industry, released a survey which pretty much says that newspapers are, well, brilliant and work great with online too. So everything's just fine, nothing to see here, move along. Now, Camille, the survey's main points.
Okay, we were discussing this earlier on, and I do have to reveal that I did attempt to read it. And I did read it, but just got so bored of it that I couldn't actually finish it through. Basically, the main, the top line is, as with any finding of this nature, is that online and newspapers are complete each other, you know, like Jerry Maguire.
You complete me.
So lots of online snacking, and the papers are really great for longer reads and, you know, very symbiotic, of course.
Yeah, and I guess the issue is, if you're, and Scott, let me ask you about this, if you're a trade body, your job is to talk up your medium.
Oh, yeah, it's your job to PR yourself, really, isn't it? And the people that pay you lots of cash or support you.
Do you think a survey like this contributes to the debate?
I don't think it contributes anything to the debate, to be honest. You know, the digital groups will do exactly the same. Everybody will do, you know, they'll all just sing their own from their own hymn sheet. So, you know, you're not really getting anywhere, I don't think. If an independent body came out and came up with the statistics, then that would be a different story. But as it is, it's just, you know, it'd be like me saying, by the way, everybody use PR, it's the best thing out there. You know, it's just the same thing. By the way, it is the best thing out there.
I mean, to be fair, obviously that is the job of the newspaper works. But for me, what I would have rather have seen in the Oz, for example, on the Monday, instead of a write-up with the headline, Prints Online Fuel Each Other, an editorial on the new findings, I'd rather have seen a full-page ad outlining the main points. In that way, it's not, you know, disguised as editorial, and it is an ad from the industry. And for me, that's more believable. It has more merits, more credits.
I suppose that was one of the issues, wasn't it, with the newspaper industry is, you know, the first place you read this was in the Australia and the Sydney Morning Herald and the Finn. That morning all had the story kind of first.
And clearly,
journalists like to try to be independent, but at the same time, when the strategy is about releasing it to the newspapers first, the self-interest inevitably kind of comes
sure,
in,
the
I
loyalty
guess.
As well for your
yeah.
own.
I noticed that paid content, I forget whether it's paidcontent.com, which is the US-based one, or paidcontent.co.uk, which is the UK one, but one of them actually wrote a piece specifically taking the mickey out of the research and just making that point. Mm. If this is the research that's coming out of Australia, then newspapers must be really desperate in Australia. So thanks for the help with our international reputation there. Still sort of with the online debate. Now, Joe Talcott is the chairman of the Australia Association of National Advertisers, also runs the marketing for News Limited, which obviously has both newspaper and online properties. He was talking to AANA on Friday. Had interesting things to say, Camille.
Yeah, his main point was time spent online, measuring time spent online, should exclude such things as online shopping, banking, emailing, using social networking sites.
Sounds fair enough to me, Scott.
I completely disagree with you there, Tim. Let's be honest here. Most of my friends get...
Tim didn't say it.
Oh, no, but Tim's having it. I can just see his face. He's up. He's down for a fight in this one. I think that, yeah, okay, banking, yeah, you can take that out because it doesn't really add anything, you know. But emailing, most people I know email entertainment stories or email news stories, you know, they email information to each other. Social media, half the people I know that use social media are using it to share information and news and information, you know.
Yeah, but I guess it's when you're making that I guess one of the calculations is online says, hey, we deserve more advertising spend because of the amount of time people spend on online. If it's time in which there's not an advertising environment, then it doesn't count.
I disagree with that as well, because people are still looking at pages and still. I mean, people pick up a newspaper, a magazine's going to be adverts in it. Same online, so it should be anywhere.
Yeah, but it's not always the case, is it? If I'm sitting on Outlook without a single advert open and I spend the day answering emails, then according to this measure, I've just spent 8 hours online. I've not seen a single ad.
I actually agree with that one because I don't think email is online.
Exactly. And that's kind of Joe Talcott's point.
No, email, I completely understand. You know, banking. I disagree with because.
That's brilliant. In 1 minute, we've gone from complete disagreement to complete agreement.
No, complete disagreement to all
of
it.
And you've changed your position.
Oh, I will walk over there, son. the point is.
You can take him out of Scotland, but you can't take Scotland out of him.
My point is that, email, that's a silly one. I mean, let's be honest here. You're not online with email. It just so happens that it gets sent through online to get somewhere else. You are actually working. Slightly offline, I suppose. But social media, that's a silly one to class that as not part of it all. I think that's really stupid of them.
And I suppose the other point to make as well, of course, is when people are doing their media buys, they don't actually say to themselves, right, justice demands that I give them another 7% because people spend 7% more with this medium.
Exactly.
Anyway, still with digital, it's been a good week for digital agency Soap. Now, according to Bannerblog, which is an advertising creativity site and a very good one at that, Soap are the number one digital agency in Australia. Now, Scott, what do you reckon?
Interesting, you know.
Our declaration of interest, Hothouse, your sister agency to House Party, didn't do at all well.
No, they didn't at
all. I'd say badly, in fact.
I'm with you there. When I saw that, I was a bit shocked, to be perfectly honest. Knowing the work that the team in the office do, seeing some of the stuff they're working on at the moment, I disagree with them. I think,
Forget that they're measuring work in the last year rather than... Yes, so this is a creative ranking. Really.
Exactly. But even the creative stuff I've seen in the office is fantastic.
But will the people who are ranking it, will they have seen it yet?
Maybe not at the moment. That's the thing. Soap's a good agency. You know, I've always had a lot of time for them. I dropped on their site yesterday again. I noticed that their little superheroes that drops up, but they're all 2008. You know, it's about two years out of date there, guys.
You spent more time on the site than I have. I have no idea what you're talking
about. All right,
about,
so everything that works here has got a little superhero character thing, but it comes up at the bottom of the page, or the front page says 2008 superheroes. And I was a bit... if you're going to be an up-to-date agency, then update your staff to 2010, guys.
No, it'd be really cutting edge, 2011.
Yeah, get out there.
Camille, creative rankings, are they? What's the value of them anyway?
Look, for me, I do have a bit of an issue with purely creative rankings. So I'm just reading through the assessments of the awards. So it's to do with the agency's management of its own reputation and the quality of its work. So management of own reputation, does that mean an agency that has a really good PR manager? Is that what that's about?
Well, it sounds
to a certain extent. Well, yeah, but the argument, I mean, this is a debate we had last week. If you can't look after your own brand, then how can you possibly expect to look after your clients?
That's one point.
And don't forget, that's only worth 5%. Mm. I'd have given it more.
Quality
of work. I mean, I can't think about the quality of work without thinking about the effectiveness. I can't just say that's really pretty. For example, a scam ad can be... look beautiful and be, entered into an award.
Another thing with creativity is, I hate, and I'm going to be honest here, I hate going to flash sites where it's just flash and, oh, wow, it's super creative. But do you know what? Mm-hmm. It doesn't do what I need the site to do, which is give me the information I need.
I suppose the thing is as well, though, don't forget that when you're, assessing the work of an agency, if they haven't taken part in the survey, you can't know the effectiveness. Mm-hmm. You can take a guess and look at it and think, this must be effective, but you can't actually know it.
Mm. Absolutely agree with that as well.
Okay, that's our quick romp around digital. Were there any other points from that one that you wanted to flag up?
No, I'm good.
Any winners
surprised
you?
I would have told you.
So, here's a big ask. Can Canadian Club persuade Aussies that they don't want a beer?
Beer, thanks.
Any particular beer?
You tell me.
No, you tell me.
Does it have to be beer?
It was you that said beer.
How about a beer that's kind of like a beer, but not really?
So you don't want a beer then?
If that's what you recommend.
I'm not recommending anything.
Have a beer. Refresh your drink. Canadian Club.
Now, the ad that we've just heard is from The Works. Scott, do you want to try something new?
No, of course I don't. I like beer. There you go, simple answer.
Yeah.
Have you tried Canadian Club?
Do you know what?
Tastes not like piss.
Well, you may say that, yeah, but the thing is, it's about the sampling, isn't it? Because
yes.
I, since seeing that ad, the opportunity hasn't come up for me, but I genuinely am more likely to try that next time I walk in a pub.
There you go, that's impressive.
I'm exactly that wobbling kind of punter who, sometimes
wobbling.
I really don't fancy a beer. Sometimes, and at the moment, you know, maybe I'll have a cider or something if I want that sort of
break.
Well,
that seems to be the logical logical step away from beer into cider. It was quite interesting. One of our commentators posted that they reckon the ad agency tried to sell the idea to a cider brand first and decided to repackage it for this one.
Which I don't think is true because the Works have had Beam Global as a client for a long time.
Yes.
And I think that criticism of, well, you should be having it to market cider, their client isn't a cider brand. They have to market who their client is.
Well, I just don't see the lead.
Yeah. I think trying to tell Aussies, by the way, you don't really want a beer, is quite a tough ask because, let's be honest here, Aussies love a beer.
But they're starting from where they're starting, which
exactly,
is their marketing and their brand.
You know, Canadian Club, I didn't mind the advert, but I just felt the banter.
Okay, off the fence, hit or miss?
Miss.
Definitely miss.
Hit for me, but I lose 2-1.
You're a wine drinker.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, Google Maps, they're pushing hard into real estate now.
I love Pegman adverts.
Yeah, Pegman is a relatively new thing to me. So for anyone who doesn't know Pegman, he is the sort of person that Google used to kind of make themselves seem warm and friendly, and they put a person into a Pegman suit. I assume it's a person rather than some sort of mutant. and to go and run around Bondi Beach and outside the Opera House and stuff to show off how good Google real estate search on Google Maps is. And we'll talk about how Pegman could give any child nightmares another day. The idea is an interesting one, isn't it? This idea that everyone will be searching for their homes to buy or rent on Google Maps.
It's just another one of Google's little plans to dominate the world, I think. But yeah, good idea. If it skips out, certain agencies or certain sites, then it's a good thing.
Will it succeed?
I think that Google, when they put their mind to something, have a tendency to succeed. There have been a few things I've failed at, but they have unlimited resources pretty much. You know, they have a lot of money to throw at it, and, it's just another little addition to them.
Camille?
I think it definitely has potential. I've tried it briefly. It's very user-friendly, and, it has the context of being able to look at the surrounding places of interest, like restaurants and schools and the traffic views in real time. Obviously, it's about growing the listings for it to be a really credible competitor to domain and real estate.
And of course, the sort of hidden element there is Domain is owned by Fairfax. Real estate is majority owned by News Corp, which owns News Limited, which owns.
I have to be honest. I use Google Maps every day on my iPhone, and I need to search for a restaurant, need to search for anything. I just put the address into Google Maps, and it's there, and then go to reviews. I just find it indispensable in my life, this is the next step. It's a logical step up.
Yeah, I suppose the thing that might slow it down a bit is lots of people. The majority, I'm guessing, still look for their new home in newspapers.
Yes.
So while those media owners control the newspapers and also throw in an online ad for free, then clearly it's not like Domain's going to go away tomorrow.
No, they won't go away. But I think it has a potential to outdistance them at some point. And I still think that the name Pegman sounds a bit wrong.
Yes, on more than one level.
I know.
Yes, what was the name of the one from... Was it Pinhead? He was one of the great horror characters, wasn't he?
I can't remember the movie now.
Yes, it will come back to me about 15 seconds after we finish this podcast, as is usually the way with these things. To me, it's just the simplicity of it, the fact that you can navigate around the map and see everything that's available.
And you can see and then you can zoom in and then see what's around that area, the coffee shops, everything.
That's probably what I make work. Now, finally, TV, politics and television have mixed in the last few days. In a deal that's been getting a lot of public flack, Camille.
Mm. really interesting. The story broke in the papers or in the media on Monday of last week. Basically, up to $250 million in the free-to-air network's coffers. All thanks to Stephen Conroy, the communications minister, giving them a bit of a cut in license fees over 2 years.
Very generous man.
Very generous. So the free-to-airs were quite happy about that. All the papers, the media covered it on Monday. Interestingly, the story has progressed. It's just the gift that keeps on giving.
Well,
to
they covered it on the Monday, then they had a day off on the Tuesday, and then from the Wednesday onwards, it's been absolutely relentless.
Yeah, funnily enough, because they had the story, for example, on the back of the media, the front, effectively, of Media and Marketing, which is the back of the business section of the Oz, which is owned by News Limited. Full stop.
What else did they own? Oh.
A call to share in Foxtail, yes.
Oh, that's right, Foxtail.
Yes,
yes. So they did. They re-reported the story 2 days later on the front page of the Australian.
Page, yeah.
But then it was taken on over the weekend with the revelations that Stephen Conroy had a jolly jaunt skiing with Kerry Stokes, owner of Seven,
Colorado.
Yes, which was very nice. And in fairness to Conroy, it's worth pointing out, it wasn't flown out there by Stokes. He was on holiday there already, so they just went and skied together.
Nothing wrong with that.
And now the radio industry is weighing in on the debate, although I would say that maybe the papers are pushing it more for the radio industry than the radio industry itself, apart from Brian McCarthy's comments.
When asked the question, would you like a rebate as well, then of course they're going to ask yes. Scott, you said just now nothing wrong with that. What do you think the boundaries should be when it comes to politicians being entertained by powerful media moguls?
Look, it happens all the time. As long as, they know they're going to get seen doing it, pretty much, let's be honest here. It's out in the open. As long as it's out in the open, if they're meeting in clandestine, if they're in secret, hidden in a little room with, sound buffers and all that kind of stuff, then that's wrong.
Well, they didn't volunteer it until the press started asking about it.
But they knew the press would find out, let's be honest here. People are going to meet other people. It's one of those things of life. There's going to be, you're going to know others. At some point, he's going to meet with Kerry Stokes, let's be honest, whether it's on skiing in Colorado or whether it's, at the offices.
Well, they're gunning for him now. There was another big piece this week on him accepting all of these lavish sporting hospitality as well. And the thing is, once they become the target, often they actually end up... Do you think we'll see Conroy resign?
Hopefully.
That's a bit
Well, I'm only saying that because of my stance on internet censorship.
You make it sound as if this is something new. I mean, even media agency heads are flown out by the TV networks.
Yes, they're sort of enjoying the Winter Olympics at the moment.
But the moment that the knives are drawn, it can be lethal for a politician.
Mm-hmm.
Because money will be invested in journalists to find anything out about them, and they will find stuff out about them.
Yeah, I mean, what strikes me is that a lot will depend on what happens with the anti-siphoning review of who gets the sporting stuff, which is also going on, and some of this, of course, is about that, because Foxtel would like to get its hands on sports.
Thing.
It's not allowed. And if Foxtel doesn't get its way, then it'll be very interesting to see what happens next. But yeah, it actually wouldn't surprise me now if Conroy doesn't make it. But still with television, I guess, although we're a couple of weeks into the TV ratings, the official TV ratings period, Camille, it's kind of only now starting properly, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, last week was the first official week of the TV ratings, February 7th. Now we have to kind of say on the outset that we have to take into account, one, the cricket on Channel 9 and also the Winter Olympics, which launched on Saturday. So really, it isn't going to be until after Easter where we're going to see a bit more of a like-for-like comparison among the networks. Although, again, what's like-for-like when there are digital stations, networks now, digital channels now that you take into account?
I've noticed both people from within 7 and within 9 are both sort of saying things won't really settle down until after Easter. But there have been some good early signs for 9.
Look, absolutely. See, for 9.
For 9.
This week, yes. Firstly, just really quickly, a recap of last week. Yep, it was Channel 7's week. But it was an interesting week for 10 as well. They had about 3 of the top 10 shows.
Which were,
let's see.
House usually does well.
Well, actually, it was NCIS.
Right.
The Good Wife, which launched.
Yes. Now, this is the thing is it Chris North? Chris North, the guy who was he used to be big in Sex and City.
Yeah, big in Sex and City. Yeah.
Is he going from Goldeneye in it?
Yes.
Oh, I can't remember her name right now.
Yes, but well, thank you for that contribution.
It's all right. I saw the adverts in the bus and I went, oh, that's what's her name.
Actually, that's interesting, isn't it? Because I saw The Good Wife, well, heavily promoted on bus shelters as well. So they Ten obviously invested quite heavily in promoting.
I haven't seen the show yet, though.
Which, hence the fact that it made the top ten.
It did seem to work, although ratings this week have gone down a little bit. But, you know, it's still early days. And their other show, The Return of Talking About Your Generation, now made the top ten as well. Now, this week, it's been a really interesting week in all time slots. And
yes.
Again,
well, let's start with breakfast because we've got this ongoing war between Seven's Sunrise and Nine's The Today Show.
Yes, it is an ongoing war because they'll forever be in the same time slot, so they are against each other. Now, basically, Sunrise has dominated for quite a long time and Today has been eating away its share and making lots of gains last year.
Particularly in Melbourne.
And this week, Monday and Tuesday, Today actually
won.
Pipped Sunrise at the post.
I suppose the thing is, because it's been so close, often there's, you know, 40 or 50,000 people between them, which, you know, in a kind of population of 22 million, isn't very much. And all you need to shift from first to second is, you know, 20 or 30,000 people to switch channels. And suddenly you've got a different winner.
It's not actually 20 to 30,000 people, is it?
Yeah, as estimated by Oz.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Yes. But what I suspect is part of the story is the Olympics have been going on.
Absolutely.
Nine have the Olympics. Now, I speak of, you know, I'm probably a good example that I will often watch Sky News of a morning. But with the Olympics going on, I actually have found myself tuning into Nine more often than I would do. So I'm sort of one of those floating 30,000, I suppose, who I don't have a Oztan box in my house, but if I did, would have kind of registered. So I'm not sure we can fully declare victory for Today at all. We'll have to see what happens once the Olympics are over.
It's interesting, though, on Tuesday that in Perth, in the Perth market, where Seven is traditionally very dominant, it was neck and neck in terms of ratings between Seven and Nine.
Yes, because I'm not sure they're, you know, people have yet been able to sort of declare a victory in Perth. So it was literally identical ratings, wasn't it?
It was
so
about 38,000.
Scott, you look like you were coming in on.
No.
Just looking interested.
Leaning forward.
Okay, well, let's move on to Afternoons, where another one of the perennial battles is Hot Seats, presented by Eddie Maguire, which is the sort of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire spin-off. And Deal or No Deal, Andrew O'Keefe, again, an eternal battle.
Again, we saw the Hot Seat actually move ahead of Deal or No Deal on Tuesday. So it was 620,000 to 532,000, respectively.
Which is actually, Hot Seat has won a few times, but never by as much as that, I think.
That's
its biggest ever winning margin, I think. So again, sort of that on the same day, and a second victory for Nine. And then did extremely well with Top Gear.
Oh, Top Gear, yes.
Top Gear. Now, you're a bit of a Top Gear fan.
I love
fan,
Top Gear. I went to see the show on Saturday night, a live show at Homebush.
Because you worship Jeremy Clarkson.
No, I don't worship
and everything
Jeremy
he stands for.
I like the whole team. I love Top Gear, I love cars. And I think that its popularity actually was one of the reasons probably it's done so well at the moment is A, because of the format of the show, which is fantastic, but also because the live show is on at the moment and they've been getting a lot of publicity and press because they're here. And I think that's helped ramp up the figures for this week.
It was a big debut, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 1.7 million, which is, I think, the highest rating show in terms of the ratings year so far, which is still, again...
Yes, and of course, it was a two-parter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, to the public, it was 1 2-hour special, but in fact, it was a new
very
show and a repeat.
Channel 9, very tricky.
As usual, these things haven't changed since last year, have they? Fool the audience a little bit. And the second half, the repeat, was down to 1.4, something
1.2,
like that. 1.2. Yes, 500,000 people untuned from that. And this is before they even announce anything about what they're doing with the local version of it, which they obviously also have a right to. So we don't yet know who the presenters will be for that.
That'll be interesting to see, because it's really hard to match the dynamic of the British show.
Yes, who would your dream trio be?
Would you be in that, Scott?
Presenters. So who would be the kind of...
Do you know, actually, there's only one Australian I can actually think of who would be fantastic.
Sam Newman?
No.
He's signed to the network.
The actor,
he likes cars.
No, the actor. Oh God, I've forgotten his name now. He was in Star Trek last year. He did a movie about his car that he drives, and I've just forgotten his name.
Eric Bana.
Eric Bana. He's the man. If you could get Eric Bana to present Top Gear here. Because he's a car-obsessed nut.
Yeah, he wouldn't though, would he? What with having a Hollywood career and everything.
I don't know. You know, maybe he'll get bored on movies one day and he'll come back and he'll say, I want to do Top Gear.
I was going to say Grant Denyer, but that would not be appropriate. And he's on Channel 7.
Eddie Maguire, what do you think?
God, no. No. I think it should be. I can't really think anybody. Sam from Ask Sam would be a good one. Maybe he's a bit blokey.
Tell us who.
I'm going to throw it out there. Naomi Robson.
Oh God! What? Controversy again, Camille.
Yes. Well, do join in this in the comments thread after we post this podcast on mumbrella.com.au and tell us what we think. Thank you to your weekly commentators Camille Alicon and Scott Rohde, and to CBS Interactive for use of their studio. Production was by Georgina Pearson. That was the Mumbrella Podcast. I'm Tim Burrows.